Today, for our younger folks that are here, this blue book that you use to press down when you write your notes, it's called a hymnal. It's got songs in it with dots that nobody in here knows what they mean except for Jimmy and Jim and Mark and Terry. And then it's got words in it that we usually sing along. There's one in here, though, that I want to call your attention to today. It's number 570, and it says, "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I bravely do my part to win that soul for thee. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee, this is my earnest plea. Help me each day on life's highway to win some soul for thee." The other verses in that song are just as good, but it reminds me that there are people in our world that need to know the Lord, and it's our responsibility as believers to have a burden for them. You know, it's interesting to me as I flip through the Old Testament and look at some of those prophets and see them beginning their message by saying, "This is the burden from the Lord." What's a burden? You know, when you think about agriculturally, an animal like a donkey or an oxen or something along those lines bear a burden as they work, a heavy load that they're able to carry as they perform their task. It's kind of the same way with us as believers. We have a task. We have a mission. It's given to us in the Great Commission, and that's to tell everybody the good news of Jesus Christ. But with that task should come a burden, a heavy load, a weight that we carry. The burden that we carry is a message that comes from the Lord that others need to be saved. But often that burden is a personal burden, as in that song, in that hymn, that burden is a soul that lays upon our heart. Can I ask you today, as we begin, I want you to think about one person that you know of that you believe to be lost. In all likelihood, that person is in your family. It may be that you have a friend that you're close to. It may be that you have a colleague that you work with every day that you're close to. But I bet you there's somebody that you know who needs to know the Lord. If we could follow along with that song and ask the Lord to lay some soul upon our heart, to lay a burden on our heart for someone who's lost. Would you today be willing to carry that heavy weight? Say, "Well, I'm not sure. What does it mean? What do I have to do to carry a heavy weight of a person as a burden upon my heart?" I think it means that you'll spend a significant amount of time praying for them. I think it means that you'll look for opportunities to share Christ with them, that barrier that has kept you, fear, unanswered questions, charges of hypocrisy, whatever it might be that has kept you from sharing the gospel with them, that somehow you're able to step across that line. The singer Carmen once said, "There's someone waiting on the other side of your fear to hear the gospel." Would you carry that burden of carrying that person to the Lord in prayer, of carrying those opportunities about the Lord to that person? Would you sow? Would you water? Would you harvest? Listen, there are a number of questions that I have to give to you today that come out of Romans chapter number 10, it's verse number 1. There are a number of those questions that I need for you today to be able to answer. They're questions that I can't answer for you. I have to answer those questions for myself, but these are questions that you have to answer. They're questions that Paul has answered. And you find his statement there in that first verse of Romans chapter 10. If you're there with me, I invite you to stand together as we simply read this one verse today. Romans chapter 10, in verse number 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." It's to the point, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we hear the point. We get the point. We understand His point. Now our prayer is that You make it our point. Our point for praying. Our point for working. Our point for carrying a burden. Our point for doing Ark in the Park. Our point for doing Grow Teams. Our point for preaching. Our point for praying. Our point for every ministry within the life of our church is that people would be saved. Father, my prayer for You today is that You would lay a burden upon our heart that we must carry, that we sense a duty to carry, that we sense a need to carry, and that we will not let go of until that person that is fresh on our hearts, heavy upon our minds, is bowed at the feet of Your cross, following You in clear discipleship. Father, lay that burden on our heart today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice that as Paul begins this verse, he begins by addressing brethren. It doesn't mean that he's talking just to the boys. It means that he's talking to believers. He's talking to genuine believers, those who name the name of Christ, those who say that they have already come to know Him as Savior and as Lord. He's talking to the church. He's speaking directly and initially to those Roman believers in the first century. But today, as we read from that verse, He is speaking directly to you who sit here at Britt David Baptist Church, who know the Lord already and have already thought of somebody in your mind that God is laying that burden upon your heart. He's talking to you. You are the brethren. So brethren, sistren, sound like a cistern, doesn't it? Whatever you are, whoever you are, these are the questions that I have for you today. Number one, do you have a personal burden for the lost? Do you have a personal burden for the lost? Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul says, "This is my heart's desire. This is my prayer." You can't today simply go away and say, "Well, I mean, I've got a burden for the lost because Paul's heart's desire is that people be saved. Paul's prayer is that people be saved." You can't even simply look forward and say, "It's Tim's burden. It's Tim's heart's desire. It's Tim's prayer. That's the burden then that our church carries." No! It has to be a personal burden. It has to be your burden. And I'm telling you, no matter what I do today, I can't lay that on your heart. I can't give you that burden. I believe the Lord can lay that upon you, but I think it's like a backpack. I think it's like a backpack in the fact that He can lay that on you, but you can lay it down. Or you can pick it up and you can carry it. What I'm asking you today is to hear from God and to pick it up and carry it upon your shoulders. You may be at a point of saying, "Yes, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to carry a burden for a lost family member, a lost friend, a lost acquaintance, a lost co-worker, a lost somebody. I'm willing to carry that and to pay that price. But I just don't know what that means. How do I do that? How do I pick up the backpack?" How do I gain a burden for the lost? Let me give you two things today. One, I believe it comes through prayer. And by prayer, what I'm saying is that you spend time getting close to God. People have asked missionaries for years, what does it take to be a great missionary? Does it take a great love for lost people? Does it take a great love for the world? Does it take a great love for travel? Does it take a great love for adventure? Those things may all be true, but that's not what it takes to be a great missionary. What it takes to be a great missionary is not a great love for all of those things or all of those people. It simply takes a great love for God. And if you will love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, what you'll discover is that the love that you have for other people will continue to grow. The love that you have for lost people will continue to grow. Your love for the world will continue to grow. Your love for travel will continue to grow. Your love for adventure will continue to grow. You will want to be a person on mission, not because you love all of those trappings, but because you love the Savior. If you will love Him, and if you will draw close unto Him, you'll begin to develop a burden for lost people. But I believe it takes two things. Through prayer, you're getting close to God. Through proximity, you're getting close to others. You're getting close to others. You've got to spend time with lost people. Did you know that the longer that you're a Christian, the less likely you are to have unbelieving friends? And once you leave a workplace, or once you leave a classroom, those numbers drop dramatically. Suddenly, I have to make it intentional if I'm going to have lost friends, because I'm not naturally drawn there. There's less that we have in common. The closer I get to the Lord, the farther they seem to be. I have to spend time getting to know them. I have to spend time loving them. I have to spend time liking them. I have to spend time doing things with them. Lost people, and especially individuals, are not my project. They're my burden. I want to spend time with them. I want to get to know them. I want to introduce them to the one who changed my life. And you can't do that from a distance. Say, Tim, why are we so interested in going on mission trips? Because you can't do it from a distance. The Bible says that we're to take the gospel to the entire world. You can't do that from sitting in the comfort of your couch at your house, or sitting in the comfort of a pew from your church. You have to go. You have to go around the world. You have to go across the street. Sometimes you just have to go across the house. Do you have a personal burden for the lost? I want you to notice that in that question, implied in that question in our verse today, there's a subject, and that's you. In the verse, it's Paul. He says, my prayer, my heart's desire. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your heart's desire. I'm talking about your prayer. I'm talking about your burden. But when we're talking about a personal burden, it's not just the object, it's also the subject. For Paul, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Listen, he has just spent an entire chapter talking about the sovereignty of God. And in the midst of talking about the sovereignty of God, he has acknowledged the fact that there will be some of his brethren, some of his countrymen, as he describes them in chapter 9, some of them who will be saved and some of them who will not be saved. And he says, my burden, my prayer, my heart's desire is that everybody be saved. I want everybody I know to be saved. You say, Tim, that's just preacher talk. You know, I heard a preacher one time say, no, I'm telling the truth, I ain't preaching. Paul's telling the truth, he ain't just writing, he's telling the truth. Do you remember how Romans chapter 9 started? You spent the entire chapter talking really about the sovereignty of God and his election of salvation. But do you remember how he started? He said he would forego his own salvation in verse number 1 if it meant that people in Israel could be saved. That's his burden. We talk about how what a burden is. How does a burden feel? A burden feels like heartache. A burden feels like brokenness. A burden feels like when I invite my friend to church, or when I share the gospel with my friend, or when I spend time praying for my friend, and they say no, it hurts. That's what a burden does. I don't simply ask so that I can report in my Sunday school how many contacts I can have, and I can say, well, look at all the contacts I made. No, my heart is aching because the one that I invited said no. There has to be an object. There has to be a subject in order for it to be personal. Do you have a personal burden for the lost? Let me ask you a second question. Do you have a passionate burden for the lost? Do you have a passionate burden for the lost? Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire. My heart's desire. The number one thing that I want, the number one thing that I'm passionate about, the number one thing that I love more than anything else is I want to see people of Israel be saved. I want to see my friend. I want to see my family member. I want to see my coworker, my classmate. I want to see them saved. That is my heart's desire. And with passion, I sense that. When's the last time you wept over the lost condition of your friend? When's the last time that you wept over the lost condition of our world? When's the last time you wept over the lost condition of our own city? One reason the aisle is not filled with repentant sinners is because the altar is not filled with remorseful saints. We don't weep anymore. We don't carry around a passionate burden for them. Maybe I'm at fault at this point, because I'll tell you that your job is to share the gospel. Your job is not to save a person. And that's true. You can't save them. Your responsibility is to tell. And so when in obedience you go and you share the gospel with somebody, you have been thoroughly obedient. But a person with a passionate burden for the lost is not satisfied. Yes, I've been obedient to the Lord, but I'm not satisfied with the results. Which means what? I don't check this person off my list. I don't come to a point of saying, okay, I shared the gospel with them, check. Now I'll move on to somebody else or something else or do something else. No, I've been obedient. And God will reward the obedience of His people, and I've shared the gospel with them, and they've said no. And I'm coming back again and again and again. And again, and again, even when it gets awkward, even when it gets uncomfortable, even when it comes to a point to where it seems as if they would rather not talk about that thing, my passion is there. My heart's desire is there. Because my heart's desire is there, there's no quitting. Today, if you go to home groups, you're going to learn about a missionary by the name of David Livingston. You probably know the old story of Stanley coming and finding him in the midst of Africa, and those famous words, "Dr. Livingston, I presume." It was after Livingston had been lost for well over 2 years. No recordings from him, no journal entries, no letters. He simply was out doing his thing. In the midst of doing his thing, though, he got sick, terribly sick. David Livingston had crisscrossed Africa like no one else ever had. In all of that time, he had one convert, just one. This one convert, though, history says, has more to do with the gospel coming to Africa than anyone besides those initial apostles. This one convert stayed with him and was with him while he was sick. After Stanley left and went back to London to write his memoirs and his books, David Livingston stayed on the missionary trail, marking out new territory. And in a year and a half, David Livingston died. This convert, this one true friend, the one that knew David Livingston more than anybody else, got his body, cared for it, cleaned it, and then cut his heart out and buried it in African soil, and then crated his body and sent it back to London for burial in Westminster Abbey with all the renowned saints. David Livingston's heart was not in Westminster Abbey with the recognition of saints that have been years and years and years before him. David Livingston's heart was in Africa. David Livingston's heart was with the people that were there. David Livingston had a passionate burden for the people that were there in Africa. We seem to be more concerned with, in that analogy, with being at Westminster, of being known, with being with the popular people, with doing the popular things, with having the popular things said about us, with being well known, with having pats on our backs. When our burden and our heart's desire ought to be with the people with whom God has laid that burden upon us. Africa was not David Livingston's first choice. He trained to be a medical missionary and wanted to go to China, wanted to follow suit of so many missionaries that had gone before him, and God blocked the door, would not allow him to go to China. And when he met a man who simply said, "I want to be burdened with the things that burden the heart of God. I want to go to a place where nobody else has ever been." And that's what drove David Livingston. What drives you? Are you more concerned about having a position at church than that position being on your knees? Are you more concerned with having a job than with that job being the evangelization of our city and of our world? What is it that you're really passionate about? Do you have a passionate burden for the lost? Would you be able to say with Paul, "My heart's desire is that," fill in your blank, "be saved"? Do you have a personal burden? Do you have a passionate burden? Do you have a pleading burden? A pleading burden. for the lost. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. If you have a genuine burden for them, you're going to have a pleading burden. Prayer is not just about, now I lay me down to sleep. Prayer is not just about, thank you for this food. Prayer is work. Prayer is intensity. Prayer is struggle. Prayer is diligence. Prayer is allowing the burden that you carry to be exposed to the gates of heaven. You open up yourself completely wide and say, God, this is what I care about more than anything else. What's on your prayer list? Does health consume your prayer list the way it consumes our Wednesday night prayer list? I'm not saying that you ought not pray for health. I'm just saying, why do we spend so much time praying to keep people out of heaven than we do praying for them to get there? What's on your prayer list? Is it stuff that you need? Is it bills that need to be paid? Is that what's on there? With the very thing that the Bible says, we're not saved by silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. What's my prayer life eaten up with? The things that will be destroyed are the things that are eternal. Am I more concerned about the temporal of today or the eternal of tomorrow? What do you plead God for? You know, the old song says, I ain't too proud to beg. When it comes to prayer, sometimes we just seem to be too proud to beg. I'm too proud to beg God for anything. Listen, why do we get on our knees when we pray? Why do we bow our heads in submission when we pray? Why do we close our eyes when we pray? Do you have to do those things? No. You can pray standing up. You can pray with your eyes wide open. You can pray with your head lifted or looking straight out. God hears all of those prayers. So why do we get on our knees? Why do we get on our face? Because we humble ourselves. I'm going to beg. I'm not going in standing up, am I? You know why the boy gets on his knee to ask that girl to marry him, right? He's begging. Man, I go to God on my knees because I'm begging. If he doesn't say yes, if he doesn't come through, this lost one that I'm pleading for will be lost for forever. Is the burden that you carry for them, will it drive you to the point of praying for them diligently? Several years ago, I found this quote by Charles Spurgeon. It's the only thing that I've put in the front of my Bible, but I kept it there for years. Charles Spurgeon said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. I asked you earlier to think of somebody Did you think of them? Let me ask you to think of somebody else for a minute. Do you know anybody who's died? Do you know anybody who, to the best of your knowledge, I know you can't open their heart and look and see, but to the best of your knowledge, do you know of anyone who's died without Christ? I do. And I had an opportunity to share with him, and I didn't. I was scared, you know. I was scared that he would reject the message. I was scared that he would reject me. I was scared that he wouldn't be my friend anymore. I was scared that he would start making fun of me. I was just scared. I remember Adrian Rogers saying one time, they say that silence is golden. Sometimes it's just yellow. That's what I was. What keeps you from sharing with people? I know fear plays a big part of that. Opportunity plays some part in that. But can I share with you today what I believe a big reason is? It's because we don't have a burden for them. We just don't. Let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes with me. Today I'm going to ask you to do something very